This podcast is offered by Jikoji Zen Center on the web at jikoji.org. Our programs are made possible by donations from people like you.
The Buddha says to Ananda, the teaching has lost its authority. Well, if this occurs to any of you, that the teaching has lost its authority, that we are without a teacher, do not view it that way. The Buddha is on his deathbed. Whatever teaching and guidelines for conduct I have pointed out and formulated for you, that will be your teacher when I am gone. As you've heard me say many times during this Sesshin, Nehane is when we celebrate the Buddha's Nirvana. Complete nirvana. It's also called the Maha Parinirvana. Maha means great, as in Maha Prajapati. You've heard her name before, the great aunt, Maha Prajapati. Maha Parinirvana, the great complete nirvana. Maha means great, Pari means round, nirvana means release, as you know, or in this case, extinction. Parinirvana is also, of course, the extinguishment of the sources of desire and suffering, and emancipation from the three poisons, greed, anger, and delusion. During this Sesshin of Nehane, we honor the Buddha's last discourse. In Japanese, his last instructions, Buddha's last instructions, is called Yuikyogyo. Yuikyogyo. Hope I'm not torturing that. And this is when the Buddha is expounding the most fundamental truth, which is that even though the physical body goes, the Dharma is eternal. So most of this teaching, this last instruction, was given to his disciple, his cousin, Ananda. Not the whole thing. There are some other characters who pop in to this last teaching, but most of it was given directly to Ananda. And because of this, Nehane traditionally also celebrates this teacher-student relationship. The founder of this temple, Kobun Chino Otogawa Roshi, said this: how to know your true self is something we cannot do alone. We have to do it with someone who is able to accept our vow. We have to practice with someone who is big enough to receive our deepest self, our deepest intention, and turn us to it again and again. So during this Sesshin, we are called upon to ask of ourselves, who are our teachers? What brought you to this practice? What brought you to this place? The role of the teacher is to support you in doing what you need to do, you individually, in order to wake up. To wake up in part to your ego. And this means that your relationship with your teacher or your teachers, in the best case, helps you to see the ways in which you seek fame and personal contentment, the ways in which you are habitually evaluating whether this is good for me, makes, you know, increases my brand, or whether this is bad for me, it makes my brand suck. Sometimes we find a teacher without even looking. Sometimes we find a teacher when we don't think we're looking. But I suspect that someone inside who has found a teacher has also known that he or she feels spiritually not at home in his or her own life. And we need someone else to help us see a wider way. Of course, the ultimate teacher is life, just as it is. What does it mean to be a student of that life? What is that life as it is teaching you during this sesshin? In our practice, the fundamental realization is non-separation. So when we allow life to be the teacher, life just as it is to be the teacher, we have this opportunity to realize non-separation moment to moment. Giroux kindly made a scroll for me that says, not knowing, moment to moment. It might be more appropriate to say that life as it is shows us how we are actually not living moment to moment. That's what life as the teacher is actually showing us. We don't tend to notice when we're living moment to moment. We tend to notice our resistance to living life moment to moment. Every time we watch our anxiety or our anger or our responsive knee-jerk reactivity, any form of resistance to this moment, to life as it is, every time we think someone else should behave differently or that we should be different, life as the teacher is teaching us exactly and where we hold ourselves separate. This moment upon moment is the way of compassion for ourselves, for everyone. There is, of course, a relevant koan, an old story. This is a really short one. Shakyamuni and Maitreya, future Buddha, are both students of another. Who is that other? Who is that one? Are you ready? What would it mean to be willing to take your own experience, yours alone, as the final statement of what life is in this moment? Without putting another head on top of it, even the Buddha's. Another aspect of our student-teacher relationship, a teacher with whom you share your practice, is trust. There is an element of trust that's involved, a unique kind of trust, unique to each duo. That I think is a way of speaking about surrender. Trust is another way of speaking about surrender. I saw that, Tess. Surrender. I'm using trust to describe the experience of letting go of your own will, have things be the way you think they are, and your own opinion about how things are, to allow in a teacher's guidance, an open heart. Having said that, I also want to tell you that no one can do this practice for you. It's your breath. You have to breathe your own breath. You have to have your own realization. You have to have your own depths on those cushions. You have to be the one who is the teacher, Shakyamuni and Maitreya. You have to be your own teacher. And to work with the teacher, in some sense, is to bring your practice out into the open, secret practice, what you really want out of this gig, and make it right there in front of yourself, everyone else, to bring your insights, to bring your whole self to be seen. That's where the juice is. A teacher may show you how you project onto them, how you grasp onto an idealized sense of a teacher, how you grasp onto an idealized sense of yourself, how you are making Zen, your practice, into a self-improvement project. We chanted the Shinshin Min this morning, and you know the first line. Right way is not difficult for one who has no preferences, or likes and dislikes, if you like. A big part of our training in this practice is releasing our likes and dislikes and preferences. If there's a good match between a teacher and a student, we start noticing the grip of our egos. Bear in mind that this teacher-student relationship is also not about improving that relationship. It's not a project we're working on together. Rather, it's a conversation. The student speaks and the teacher listens, and the teacher speaks and the student listens. There is this mirroring of investment in trust in this process of intimate discovery. Slowly, each shows the other what we have individually or collectively together avoided looking at. The teacher's job is to help the student see their resistances, the ways in which they see themselves as separate and pointing outside themselves at their experiences. And sometimes the teacher's job is to say, who is that one? In fact, seeing our projections turns out to be a pretty big deal. I'm going to tell you two stories where this became very clear to me. One not so long ago, and one long ago, relatively long ago, maybe 8 years ago. Koan Sensei, my first real Zen teacher. I went into Dokusan and I told him I was very raw. It's a very raw period in my life. The bottom had kind of fallen out of the pail. I went into Dokusan and I said, I walk down the street in Santa Barbara and all I see is the pain and suffering on these people facing me. They're walking at me and I feel like a sponge. I'm just soaking it all up. And Koan Sensei said, that's you. That's all he had to say. It's me. Everything I see comes from these eyeballs, because from my causes and conditions, it's all me. And then almost 2 years ago, year and a half ago, something like that, in Switzerland, I gave a talk at Vanya's little, I mean, he put me on the spot. I didn't know I was giving the talk, but gave this talk at his Zendo. And what I wanted to talk about, I prefaced it by saying, everybody in Switzerland is so great. I mean, everybody's so nice. And the bread's so good, and the chocolate's so good, and it's so beautiful. And everywhere I go, everybody's so warm and open-hearted. And Vanya looks at me and goes, oh, that's all you. And that was what my talk was about. Because, oh yeah, there's that lesson again. He said, Vanya said, you're looking through the eyes of your own love, your compassion and love, and therefore that's all you can see. That was true. So you can see the two sides. See only suffering and pain. I see only love and chocolate and good bread. So in a healthy teacher-student relationship, the student begins to see that everything she or he is noticing is himself or herself, just as she is. Not a perfect version of herself, not a perfect version of the brown robe person, just like this. And the student starts to see her own limitations, the things that she thinks are problems about herself or her sensitivities or insecurities. Because you can see them now. They're right out in the open. And you begin to make friends with them. So what you see as your challenges and problems and things you got to get better at, sure, go ahead. But they're not problems. Yesterday, we talked a little bit about death, since we were talking about the Buddha's final extinction, his death. And yesterday, we talked about it in terms of the practice of surrendering. And Ocean had taught me this, letting go, mudra, releasing mudra. I think I've seen some of you using that. We spoke a little bit about what you're willing to let go of. What are you willing to let go of? What are you willing to let die on this cushion? Hopefully, don't cut off any parts. But what are you willing to let go of? Who are you willing to let go of? Well, again, this is another dimension of the student-teacher relationship. One way that we surrender is to a teacher. As a student, as I've mentioned, we have a propensity to idealize a teacher, like, wow, they are awakened, you know, they know what they're doing, and they should be a certain way. The truth is, every one of us is just a human being. The Buddha on his deathbed didn't want to see his cousin, his friend, his disciple, Ananda, cry. He was being a human being right then. Can you allow your teacher to just be a human being with all of her idiosyncrasies? And can you still see her or him as the embodiment of practice for you, even though just another human being struggling? Question is, are you willing to accept the behaviors of a teacher when they act like other regular human beings, acting out their frustration in the kitchen, barking at everyone, angry at the pilot light, or whatever it is? Can that teacher still be sufficient in your eyes to help you on your way? That requires all of us to release our idealizations about the perfect teacher as some kind of perfect enlightened one whose very look or word or touch can magically be given to you. No one can give it to you. Another old great story makes this point. You know about Wang Bo? Wang Bo. Well, it's a great story. He was a great Zen teacher, and he strides into the meditation hall, and he bellows at the students, "You people, you're all dreg slurpers." Dregs at the bottom of the barrel, the bad stuff. "You people are all dreg slurpers. If you go on like this, when will you ever see today? Don't you know that in all of China, there are no teachers of Zen?" One of the students has the chutzpah to challenge him and says, "What do you mean there are no teachers of Zen? What are people like you doing teaching us about Zen if there are no teachers of Zen? You set up this temple to teach us about Zen. How could there be no teachers of Zen?" And Wang Bo says, "I didn't say there's no Zen, just that there are no teachers." I happen to like this story very much because I'm a teacher. A teacher cannot communicate much of anything to you. You know this from your own education. No matter what you studied, they would maybe vomit up the stuff that was in the textbook to you in a way that maybe helped you see it. But who had to learn it? You had to learn it. You had to translate everything into your own body, mind. You have to find your own way through the maze that is your own experience based on your causes and conditions. Your own life is your teacher, your own experience. Only you can actually teach yourself. In the Heart Sutra, we chant, "All dharmas are empty." If all dharmas are empty of content or material, they're empty of doctrine, they're empty, empty. Empty of anything that can be pinned down, that is, anything that can be touched and grabbed and held or defined, then what is it that I could possibly teach you? Well, what I have learned from my teachers, what was possible for them to get through this skull, was trust. Somehow out of the relationship, my teachers have helped me turn everything I observed back at me. They've consistently told me to be my own teacher. A good teacher-student match is one in which the teacher encourages the student to acknowledge that everything we experience and perceive is self-created, created through these eyes. When that happens, the student's eyes are opened, and the context of reality gets broader and wider and deeper and higher. And in my experience, what flows in from this expanded view is nothing else than compassion. A very profound softening of the self-judgment that we put ourselves through a lot of the time. And a trust in this one, whoever she is, in any given moment. And a trust in the whole system. Not because I'm doing anything, certainly not doing anything special, just because I'm being with what's happening. And this kind of trust that develops from sitting here, not doing anything, completely changed my life. And I suspect it's changing yours. The Buddha says to Ananda, "Now, if it occurs to any of you, the teaching has lost its authority. We are without a teacher. Do not view it this way. Whatever teaching and guidelines for conduct I have pointed out and formulated for you, that will be your teacher when I'm gone." The teachings that the Buddha formulated were extensive and comprehensive. So you don't have to make up your own philosophy. And if you do, it's going to be pretty limited. Two eyes. And his teachings boil down rather nicely to endless impermanence and endless interconnection. When we taste that through our own idiosyncratic experience of this life as the teacher, we develop a trust in everything, unending, impermanent, and thoroughly integrated. And that's where we begin to live moment upon moment, not knowing. Nothing we experience is outside. Nothing we see is outside. There is no outside. Whatever we see are teachers or the Sangha, or the Tenzo, whatever we see happening is happening because we're creating that reality. We are actually integral to the fabric of that reality. As Jiro has put it on that scroll, no other. So when the Buddha tells Ananda that the teachings themselves are the teacher, he's saying, I've given you what I can. I've given you your opportunity to see life as it is, reality, the Dhamma. I've shown you how to find it in yourself, how to find it in everything that exists, in the reflection of others, in your projection of others. I've shown you, it's everywhere. Everything you can perceive is your teacher. And the Buddha explicitly tells Ananda, hey, this isn't about me. And it's not about you. It's not about our teaching-student relationship. Your understanding is not dependent upon me. It's up to Ananda, and it's up to us to return to the refuge we make within ourselves in this practice. Through mindfulness, paying attention. At some point, we have to let go of everything that we want to hold on to. Everything we use as an umbilical, feel safe. There's no safety. Once we understand this as an experience, we open our eyes to the wholeness of everything. And our understanding no longer depends upon a teacher. It's just the moment, the teacher, in each moment. And like the Buddha telling Ananda, not about me and you, someday your teacher too is going to say, fly, go off, fly now. At Koban's memorial sesshin a few years ago, Ocean Sensei was there for this moment. After the ceremony was all over, we were in the community room, and I was sitting under the portraits on the other, were on the other wall, the lineage. And there were some new people here, Sunday program people, and they were asking, who is that, and who is that, and who is that? And I was explaining, this is this, and this is this, and this is this. And then I got to Koban, and I said, and Koban is the founder of this temple, and he was Shoho, Mike, who was sitting on the couch behind me. And he was Mike's teacher. And Mike is my teacher. This is a while ago. And Shoho is having another conversation with someone else, actually a long time Sangha member, Randy, who used to live here when it was a commune. Having this conversation with Randy, but he turns around and he says, oh, I'm not your teacher. And my head just about spun around. Teacher. He said, I'm not your teacher. You're my teacher. And I thought he was like being sarcastic or making a joke. Mm-mm. It's kind of stern. I'm your preceptor. I made you a priest, but I'm not your teacher. You're my teacher. And then he goes back to his conversation. And, you know, I have 3 years of advanced training in arguing. I'm a lawyer. And I may have argued a little for there for a minute. Like, what do you mean? And he just ignored me. Oh, hi, Randy. And I was really like, I didn't see it coming. I had no idea that was ever going to happen. And I complained to Ocean later on, and what the hell? You know? And Ocean had already figured it out. And he said, well, you know, Koban had a tradition. When the student didn't need the teacher anymore, cut him off. Why? Fly, fly. And I felt like saying, well, I need a teacher. It's too late. I've been cut off. And so when your teacher feels that you've embodied the teachings, you know where your refuge is. You know you're going to get cut off too. The point is, you take up your own agency. And sometimes we do this together as parts of the whole, like we're doing it in Sesshin. The Tenzo and the Fukutan are nourishing us with all the elements of our lives, help us take care of our bodies. The Eno is teaching us to respect the forms, to keep our commitments to this Sesshin Sangha. Everyone here is your teacher. Everything here is your teacher. Everything has something to offer you. You individually, by the way, it's not the same for me as it is for Sokyo. You individually. Because of your causes and conditions, the thing that you perceive, again, is your teacher. Pay attention. Some of them are silent teachings. Pay attention. I like to think of Sesshin as like a ship. We're all parts of the ship, and the sails cannot take air unless everything's in its place, right? Everything has to do its part in the Sesshin, ship to sail. It's a whole system all the time, not just Sesshin. The floorboards, these nice warm floorboards, the stem and the stern, everything in relationship to everything else. So when Wang Bo says there's no teachers of Zen, there's Zen, but no teachers of Zen, we understand the ship won't sail unless all the parts are functioning in their individual idiosyncratic ways. This teacher cannot teach you anything. This student cannot learn anything from the teacher. And yet, the teacher has to take this seat, and the student has to take that seat. No student, no teacher, no teacher, no student. That's how the whole system works. So this teacher takes the seat for a while, and you take that seat for a while, and sometimes you are the student, and sometimes you are the teacher. And me too. During the Sesshin, we recognize and pay honor to all of our teachers. We say thank you for those of us who have held our hands on this path, maybe brought us to this path. Thank you. Koan Sensei Shoho Roshi, helping me understand where I project, where I fantasize about an idealized version of them and of me and of you. For reminding me of my own personal power to make a choice about not knowing moment to moment. Thank you for your practice.
Thank you for listening to this podcast offered by Jokoji Zen Center. Our Dharma talks are offered free of charge, and this is made possible by the donations we receive. Your support helps us to continue to offer the Dharma. For more information about Jokoji, please visit us on the web at jokoji.org.